I am here to tell you that the day I quit being in charge and I let God be in charge was the day that I found freedom. Because no matter what happens in this life, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. What can we learn from the letter to Philemon? I often wonder why some books of the Bible got into the Bible and why some didn't. Have you ever wondered that? I mean, we know there's some books, like there's probably two letters to the Corinthians that we don't have any record of. And there's some other books that are mentioned that are not in there. But I've always wondered about the book of Philemon because it seems like it is a very personal letter. As a matter of fact, it seems like it is so personal that some of the things in here is almost sarcasm that's going on. The very first thing that I want you to notice today is that in this book, we can learn that God is in control of who is in control. God is in control of who is in control. And I want you to really think about that for just a minute, because I am listening to the news and I am listening to things that are out there, and politically, we are divided in this country. And some of you are happy right now and some of you are really sad. Some of you are alarmed and some of you are excited about what's going on. But let me just say this to you. God is in control of who is in control. That's the reason why you can go to bed at night and sleep comfortably, because you don't have to worry about the future, because we know who holds the future. Paul, when he was writing this letter, he could have written a number of things, but he says, Paul, a prisoner, not of Rome, not of a hierarchy, but I am a prisoner of Jesus Christ. What he's saying is, no matter what my circumstances are, I'm in Jesus Christ. And you need to remember that, because no matter what's going on in your life right now, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you are in Jesus Christ. And that is so important for us to remember. Look at Philemon's chapter, or verse 15 and 16. Perhaps the reason he was separated for you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. Now, I want you to look at those words. As a matter of fact, underline perhaps the reason. Perhaps the reason. Because Paul is pretty much full of the Holy Spirit. Amen? And if he's full of the Holy Spirit and he is trying to figure out what God's doing sometimes, guess what? We need to figure out what God's doing sometimes. A lot of times people ask me, what do you think God's doing here? And I love the fact that I can say perhaps, because I don't always know what God's doing. And we need to be very careful sometimes when we express what's going on in the world as to whether or not we know what's going on. Paul was saying here, perhaps the reason why he was separated for you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. I was talking to my buddy Matt, and he was telling me about his cousin who lost a baby. And I got to tell you, he said, you know, he was concerned as to why. Why would this happen? And there's two responses to that. There's the emotional response to it, and then there's the illogical response to it. But you need to remember this. We may not know why things happen, but we need to always remember that God is in control. And we may not understand what's going on in the world today. We may not understand what's going on with our family. We may not understand what's going on with our finances. But God is in control of who is in control. And the last point on there that I've got is God is at work even when we can't see it. God is at work even when we can't see it. I hope at some point when I get to heaven, I'll be able to ask some questions. And I had this discussion with a friend of mine, and I said, you know, I want to get to heaven. I want to be able to ask God some things like, God, why did this particular thing happen in my life? Or why did this particular thing happen to this person? I want to ask that. My friend looked at me. He says, Neil, you're going to be so happy that you made it to heaven that you're not going to care about any of that stuff anymore. But there's times my mind wanders, and I want to know why God allows certain things to happen, why God would allow certain bad things to happen to good people, and then good things happen to bad people. It doesn't make sense to my human brain, but I've got to rely on the fact that God is in control. Amen? And whenever we think we're in control, guess what? We become God. When we think we can control circumstances, when we can control things, when we feel like that we are in control of life, we become God. And guess what? When we make ourselves God, there's nothing for us other than our control. The second thing that I want you to see here from this book is when we don't share our faith, we miss out on God's plan and His purpose for us. When we don't share our faith, we miss out on God's plan and His purpose for us. I've been known to go to Cracker Barrel from time to time. And I've gotten myself in trouble at Cracker Barrel. I'm going to just tell you how it is. I was in Cracker Barrel a couple weeks ago or a week or so ago, and this waitress who's been waiting on me, she says, now, Neil, it was Austin and I, we were having lunch together. It was a business lunch because it was me and Austin. And we were discussing things. She came over and she says, Neil, I just want you to know that my birthday is next Wednesday, and I don't want balloons, and I don't want a card. And I said, okay. And then she came back again, and Austin will verify all this. If he doesn't, he'll be fired. She came back over, and she said again, now, my birthday is Wednesday, and I don't want balloons, and I don't want a card. I said, okay. So what did I do Wednesday? I showed up with the balloons and a card, and I made this waitress's day. But the problem is now every waitress in there is telling me when their birthday is. God saved you from your sins, is going to take you to heaven, and that is a glorious thought. But if you really want to live the life that God wants you to live, you're going to share your faith. If you don't, you're missing out on God's best for you. I love the fact that you come up to me from time to time and say, you know, Neil, I know you didn't want to be a preacher, but look at you now. God's got a sense of humor. I am here to tell you that the day I quit being in charge and I let God be in charge was the day that I found freedom. Because no matter what happens in this life, I know where I'm going to spend eternity. And I know who I'm going to be with. It's not just my family, but I'm going to be there with Paul. I'm going to be there with Abraham. I'm going to be there with the people that I never got to meet that had influence on me. Look at what it says, verses 4 through 7. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. Underline verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Jesus Christ. For we have great joy and consolation in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Now I want you to look at every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. You see, sharing of your faith is not standing on the corner and telling people to repent. Sharing of your faith is not holding your Bible at them and preaching at them. The sharing of your faith is explaining every good thing that comes from God that has happened in your life. For the longest time, we in the Church of Christ particularly have trained people with the Bible. We know book, chapter, and verse. I remember as a kid, we had to go through our Bible, and we had to write at the front of the Bible the very first scripture we were going to show people. And then we took the next scripture, and we put it in there, and we showed people what we were going to put there. And we just went through the Bible over and over so that we could give the plan of salvation to somebody else. Any of you remember that? Just nod your head. But guess what? I can teach the plan of salvation all day long, but if I can't tell people what God has done for me, it's of no use. And the thing that you need to remember is that God not only saved you from your sin, but he has said, Jesus' words, I have come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. You see, I can have all the money in the world and still not have biblical joy. I can be set for life and not have biblical peace. And I can gain the whole world and lose my soul. The third thing I want you to see is that our unity in Christ is greater than our differences. Our unity in Christ is greater than our differences. I love this church because it is so diverse. We've got people, we've got crazy people in here. We got some smart ones in here. We have a couple of good-looking ones besides me. But we are so diverse educationally, economically, and everything else. But when we come into this building, we are unified, amen? Because we're not coming in here to promote ourselves. We're coming in here to worship our God. And it doesn't matter the background that you came from. It doesn't matter your economic status. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. What matters is you've come in here to glorify God. And that makes our unity in Christ so much greater than our differences. Look at what he says here in verse 16. No longer a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. I love Galatians 3, 26 through 28. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free. There is neither male, nor is there male and female. And underline that last part, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, when I come into this church and I go with Austin into the teen room and look at those teens, I don't look at them as silly teenagers. I look at them as being one in Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit, so it as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And underline this, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Now, I want you to underline that because I want you to understand something. If you know somebody that you think is spiritual, if you know somebody that you think has got it put together, you've been given the same spirit they have. If you know somebody that is a church leader and has done some pretty amazing things to help others, maybe even brought some people to Christ, you've been given the same spirit. The difference is how you nurture that spirit in you. And if there's one thing that I could get across to you today from the book of Philemon, is that we all have the same opportunities to become more Christ-like. God didn't give me any more opportunities than you gave you. As a matter of fact, when I'm talking to people from time to time and talking about how God does amazing things in my life, I tell people all the time, I cannot believe he lets me preach. I mean, I am a mess. I get frustrated, I get upset, and from time to time, guess what? Nancy doesn't like me. Here's the thing. I've been given that spirit to drink. And if I nurture that spirit, God's going to do great things from me. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 11, and I love that last part of that verse, but Christ is all and is in all. Number 4, when we do wrong, we need to make it right. And when we are wrong, we need to let it go. When we do wrong, we need to make it right. And when we are wrong, we need to let it go. And you may be thinking to yourself, you know, Neil, this sounds good, but it's not really practical. How in the world to make certain things right? Well, you know, there's some things you can't make right. There's some things you can't undo. But everything you can try to make right. It may be that you need to apologize to somebody. It may be that you need to repent, but you need to make it right. But here's where it really is important for you to listen. When we are wrong, we need to let it go. Because so many of us spend our lives hanging on to past hurts. So many of us have gone through some traumatic things in our childhood, and we just can't seem to let it go, and it stifles us. So many of us have had partnerships that have gone bad, either in business or in a spousal relationship, where people have done us dirty, and we're hanging on to that, and we're just not letting go. And when we don't let go, we carry a burden that we don't need to carry. Verse 12 says, I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel, but I did not want to do anything without your consent so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. And then in verse 18 and 19, he says, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand, and I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. And then in verse 17, so if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. And then I've got in here Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. Underline those last words, just as in Christ God forgave you. It is so important for us to let go of the wrongs. You see, when we hold bitterness in our hearts, it is a poison that we take in hopes that it hurts them. And we need to remember that. Number five, it's always better to motivate than legislate. It's always better to motivate than legislate. And I got to tell you, we live in a world today where there's a lot of legislation. Amen? There's a lot of laws out there. As a matter of fact, from time to time, I will read a law and I'll think, I never even knew that. Do you realize that you're not supposed to take guns to school? There's a law against that. And I guess these people that take guns to school don't know that. But guess what? We've tried as a country to legislate morality, amen? And now the tides are turning, amen? And the legislation is going in the other way. Guess what? It's better to motivate people to live correctly than it is to legislate. Because guess what? I learned this when I was in grade school. Laws were made to be broken. And sometimes I live by that. Especially when I see the speed limit that I don't agree with. Some of you are nodding your heads, yes. We're going to sing an invitation song in just a few moments. And I'm inviting you now to come down. I'm already down front. I'm confessing now. But my point being is it's always better to legislate or to motivate than legislate. And you know one of the things that's a motivation for me to slow down is a school zone. You see, when I was a teenager, there was a little girl at church that got off the bus in a school zone, and without thinking, she ran across the street, and somebody wasn't driving correctly, and she died. And every time I see a school zone and I see the light flashing, I'm not motivated by the sign. I'm motivated by the girl that was lost. Look at what it says. Therefore, although in Christ, I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. Underline these words, I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He says this over and over again in this book, talking about being a prisoner. This is the best Jewish guilt trip you have ever seen. That I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Now, I want you to think about that. When it comes to reaching out to people and sharing the gospel with them, you know, for the longest time, I tried to beat people over the head with the Bible. And you know what it did? It gave them a headache. That's all it did. And we need to, when it comes to the lost out there, we need to motivate them as opposed to legislate them. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 5:11 through 13. But now I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is in sexual, greedy, an idolater, or a slanderer, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Do not even eat with such people. But then he goes on to say, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? I want you to underline those words, because when people are outside the church, we don't need to go around judging them. It says, are you not to judge those inside? In verse 13, it says, God will judge those outside. And then he goes on to say, expel the wicked person from among you. So when it comes to the people of this world, we do not need to be in judgment of them. We need to motivate them with Christ's love. Well, here are some things that I want you to remember from the book of Philemon. Number one, true Christianity can be seen in how we love those who have wronged us and those who are different from us. True Christianity can be seen in how we love those who have wronged us and those who are different than us. One of the things that Jesus taught us in the parable of the lost sheep was he went after the one. And I'm going to tell you, on Sunday morning, a lot of times it's really nice to get with your crowd, isn't it? I've got people that I love seeing and I love being around. I've got people that I probably spend more time with than others. But guess what? One of the things we are to do as Christians is we're not just to have our holy huddle. We are to go out and reach those that are on the margin or those that are lost. Number two, really loving others happens when I realize, letter A, that I deserve the death penalty. When I realize I deserve the death penalty. When I realize that I deserve the death penalty. When you realize that you deserve the death penalty. Let me say it one more time so that it really sinks in for just a moment. You're going to start loving other people when you realize that you deserve the death penalty. Do you understand that there's not a person in here that is righteous enough to get into heaven? And when we realize that my righteousness is but filthy rags, I realize that I deserve the death penalty, and it changes how I see other people. Really loving others happen when I realize that I need a mediator. When I realize I need a mediator, I need someone to mediate between me and God. And the reason why I put this in here is because when you come in contact with people, guess what? You're going to be the mediator between them and God. And you say to yourself, how do I do that? You do it through prayer. You do it through encouragement. You are the mediator between them. And letter C, I owe a debt that I could never pay. I owe a debt that I could never pay. We mentioned this earlier, but Easter is coming. We're going to have a tent service. I can guarantee you this, the weather will be the weather. I got that handled already. It will be the weather. Whether it's hot, cold, windy, even if it's raining, we will have a plan to have an Easter service. But if there's ever a time that you wanted to invite somebody, if there's ever a time that you wanted to share the gospel with a friend, I'm going to tell you Easter would be a good time to do it. We're not having Bible classes that day. I've invited some people already. As I understand it, we may be having an egg hunt. Is that correct? We're having an egg hunt after the service, and we're going to be having coffee and donuts. Am I correct, Mike, about the donuts? Mike's going to get my donuts for me. And Shaq is not here, but he's going to get the coffee, and we're going to have a grand time, and we're going to be talking about the resurrected Christ. And that brings us to the end of the lesson. We sing an invitation song each Sunday. We sing that invitation song so that if something you heard in the message causes you to feel like you need the prayers of the church, or you need to put on Christ in baptism, or you need to repent from sin that is in your life, you have an opportunity. We sing that invitation song to encourage one another, but most of all, we sing that invitation song so that when you leave here, you can say to yourself, I have been changed because I have worshiped the Lord Almighty. Will you come as we stand and sing?